Salam sejahtera, anda sedang menonton Awani Global bersama saya, Naila Huda. Dan minggu ini, kerajaan memulakan perbincangan bersama dengan kerajaan Indonesia mengenai penghantaran pekerja ke negara ini. Ya, selepas kedutaan Indonesia pada minggu lepas mengumumkan pembekuan sementara penghantaran pekerja ke Malaysia, ekoran kekeliruan mengenai penggunaan sistem pengambilan pekerja. Menurut memorandum persefahaman atau MOU yang ditandatangani antara kedua-dua negara, Malaysia sepatutnya menggunakan sistem satu saluran ataupun one channel system. Sebaliknya, Malaysia ketika ini masih lagi menggunakan sistem Made Online atau MOS. Jadi untuk Awani Global jam ini, kita ingin membincangkan pendirian tegas yang diambil oleh Indonesia dan bagaimana ini mungkin mempengaruhi negara-negara sumber lain. Dan adakah ini juga menandakan keperluan untuk Malaysia mengubah seluruh sistem pengambilan pekerja asing yang kita tahu mendedahkan mereka kepada risiko eksploitasi. Dan sudah bersedia bersama saya untuk membincang dengan lebih lanjut Adrian Pereira, pengarah North-South Initiative. Dan izinkan saya teruskan dalam bahasa Inggeris. Thank you, Adrian, for joining me today. Firstly, what exactly is the rationale behind Indonesia's decision to temporarily freeze the entry of workers into Malaysia?
Yeah. So early this year, the Malaysian government and Indonesian government signed a memorandum of understanding regarding domestic workers recruitment to Malaysia, and certain clauses that would be important to prevent forced labor and trafficking was violated, and hence because it's a violation also of their national sovereignty, they had to take serious measures to stop all recruitment of Indonesian foreign workers to Malaysia. It's more like a sign to stick and honor agreements that have been made. Even though MOUs in general are not legally binding, but in this case, it looked more like a violation of the sovereignty of two very historical, historically good relation countries. Yeah.
And so if we look specifically into what the High Commissioner has mentioned, looking at the usage of the Made Online system, this has been described as the main reason behind the temporary freeze. So we want to understand what exactly is the current process of recruiting workers, particularly domestic workers from Indonesia, and why does Indonesia not agree with the current Made Online system or the MOS?
Yeah, so the Made Online system has been problematic from the start. Even though it was implemented by Malaysia with good intentions, which was to help make it easier and more accessible for Malaysians to hire domestic workers. But unfortunately, it's still a very unilateral process. And in the MOU, there was a very specific clause that Malaysia would stop using the Made Online system for Indonesian workers. Now, there could be a technical component where the Made Online system applies to all countries, but in this case, it's Indonesia who vocally and verbally disagreed to it, including in the MOU. And so that particular clause was violated by Malaysia. Now, the difficult part about or the dangerous part about the Made Online system is it bypasses various safeguards which Indonesia has put in place, including other countries which have a lot of domestic workers in Malaysia, for example, Philippines. And more specifically, once you don't follow the procedures from country of origin, your workers, or in this case, the domestic workers, end up in very vulnerable situations, which are almost like human trafficking and forced labor conditions. So I think Indonesia has done the right thing to protest this. And hopefully the other countries which have been using the Made Online system will also protest, because it puts their citizens in great risk and danger.
What we know to be the latest development from this issue is how our Minister of Human Resources has recently said the one-channel system is being used by Indonesia. This will be integrated into the MOS, or the Made Online system used here, which is the current existing system. So how exactly do you think this will look like? I know it's still, you know, early days. It's very hard for us to predict what that will be like and how it would actually be actualized. But do you think this will perhaps affect other countries, other host countries?
Yeah. So back to your earlier question, where you asked about what is the current system. So besides the MATE online system, there's already systems which domestic workers can use in order to look for jobs in Malaysia. But it follows the procedure where you have to go to an agent or the government agent back in Indonesia, and they would then, you know, liaise with the Malaysian authorities to ensure that the employer is qualified and has the various mechanisms to protect the worker. So that has already been in existence. So there's actually no need to merge these two systems because the MATE online system has proven, including through the cases that and North-South Initiative has received, to be a very volatile and dangerous system for workers. So we would think it's better that the government reconsider this than merging a system which already works independently with something that is dangerous and has led to human trafficking and forced labor. So we would rather have both governments rethink this, meet domestic workers, have consultations with them, as you know, they are the primary subjects in the matter, to get more feedback, to have a better system. There's no need to rush into merging these two systems because we need to come up with good mechanisms. And we also need to take note that in Malaysia, domestic workers are excluded from many aspects of the related labor laws, meaning they enjoy very minimal protection. So we have to get it right this time. And hopefully, if we have a good formula, we can then go on to develop more serious laws that protect domestic workers in Malaysia. And not just for Indonesia, but for all countries which send their domestic workers to work here.
You describe this dangerous and exploitative environment for domestic workers. What exactly are the forms of exploitation that domestic workers in Malaysia are subjected to?
Yeah, so in the struggle to make domestic workers' recruitment more accessible to Malaysians, I think Malaysia may have had good intentions, but we ended up putting domestic workers in more danger. So one example is this: if you use the MATE online system, there's very minimal check and balance from the Indonesian authority side. So by the time the worker comes to Malaysia using their social pass and they then only are scrutinized by the Malaysian authorities, it's a bit too late. You may have already ended up in the hands of abusive employers, human traffickers, and labor agents who are abusive. So all these mechanisms, the check and balance, the due diligence, has to be done in advance and attested by the different embassies. You know, whether it's the embassy, Indonesian embassy here. And of course, scrutinized by the Malaysian embassy in Indonesia. So there's actually comprehensive processes involved which need to be done so that domestic workers are protected. The current lack of protection comes from Malaysia not having a specific law or regulation to govern domestic workers. So till today, domestic workers are excluded from the minimum wage. They have no freedom of movement. There's no guaranteed day off. The number of hours are not regulated. So even without the MATE online system, it's already very clearly modern day slavery. And I would call it state sanctioned modern day slavery. So it is a sector that needs much comprehensive reforms, and not just guidelines or MOUs. Much more is needed.
The lack of legal frameworks for domestic workers and migrant workers as a whole, do you see there being a need to perhaps create better laws or perhaps fit them into existing labor laws that are in place for local workers?
Yeah, so this is a debate where we are striving to ensure that there's no discrimination at all in the labor sector. So we want, you know, all workers to enjoy the same benefits. And once that happens, there will be lesser opportunities for exploitation. But unfortunately, you know, employers are not willing to pay, for example, EPF for migrant workers. And even the SOCSO protocols are not equal for migrant workers or even domestic workers. So there has been some good news in the sense that Malaysia has included forced labor in the various laws, but whether domestic workers are protected in these latest amendments, that remains a mystery. Mm-hmm. So domestic workers in this case are a bit more at risk, much more vulnerable, especially with the nature of this particular job, which is isolated and off access to labor inspectors.
Going back to the integration of the one channel system and the main online system, you know, it has yet to materialize, but once it does, this could perhaps create a sort of a ripple effect for other home countries to want to develop their own individual systems for their migrant workers and so on. But do you perhaps see there being a risk of complicating the process of recruitment workers, or is this necessary? Unfortunately, we know this is the primary concern for most Malaysians, or at least most Malaysian employers, when it comes to discussing migrant workers, particularly domestic workers. Their concern is the shortage of labour at the moment in Malaysia. So, I, you know, some will obviously be concerned about this aspect of the problem, the problem of complicating the process of adding more layers of bureaucracy. Do you see this being a necessity, or perhaps is there a way to simplify the process? What will this look like for the process of recruiting workers for all the home countries?
See, that's a very good question, because we need to find the balance between reducing bureaucracy and at the same time ensuring protection. And these questions are not new in the region, especially since ASEAN has a consensus on the protection and promotion of the rights of migrant workers. So the 10 different countries have been debating this over the last many years. In fact, it was started, the discussion was started in 2007 with the Cebu Declaration. But Malaysia has a little bit of mischief in trying to negotiate for looser agreements, and this particular made online system is one of it. Now, good intentions are not enough to protect both employers and employees. An MOU is not legally binding. So instead of going for a comprehensive policy, we then choose to negotiate bilaterally. So that puts, not just complicates bilateral relationship, but it's not good in the overall management of labor in Malaysia, which, you know, the NGOs and the migrant workers have been pushing for a comprehensive solution. And till now, that has not materialized, despite the National Security Council actually proposing this a few years ago.
I think one could argue that the Indonesian government has been taking a bit of a more of an aggressive approach or a more stern approach in protecting their migrant workers overseas. Could this perhaps be related to their development over the years? What could be some of the factors that could explain their behaviour, which I guess we could say it's rather positive for them to want to take a more stern approach in protecting their workers, and what could perhaps be seen in other home countries as well for them to also protect their workers?
Yeah, so if you look at the global standards of labor and how we measure migration, I think Malaysia already has a very negative record. I think the US TIP report has put us on tier three again. Mm-hmm. And also the ITUC report puts us on the second last tier. So I think it's fair that what Indonesia is trying to do, which is merely to protect its own citizens. And in mm-hmm. fact, in 2017, Indonesia came up with a specific law to protect migrant workers in general. And it has listed down the different processes, very comprehensive law. The irony is, it was 2017 also that Malaysia introduced this made online system. So very clearly, you know, Indonesia and a few other countries were opposing and notifying Malaysia of the danger. We have also seen the consequence of how a migrant worker comes in a very loose manner and, you know, exploited by different agents and employers using the made online system. So I think it's fair. And Indonesia sees, as a very close partner historically, culturally. It sees Malaysia as a partner, a very close partner. To violate a clause was really problematic in terms of international diplomacy. But, end of the day, we need to find a win-win solution because we are coming into the endemic stage of the pandemic. Workers need jobs. And, since there's a lack of jobs decent work in Indonesia, it's understandable that workers have to come here. It's just that we here need to reciprocate that goodwill in a technical way by ensuring protection of Indonesian workers.
So taking into account the recent developments, Indonesia's temporary freeze on the entry of workers, Malaysia remaining at the lowest tier of the US human trafficking report, do you see this signaling a need to change the current system of recruiting migrant workers? Does this require an entire systemic overhaul, or can we perhaps just make minor changes?
If you look at some of the reports by industries the amount of financial loss and loss to the GDP because of the lack of workers, it's so big. I think that we have already reached a crisis level where different industries are, held at ransom by not having a smoother process of hiring workers, whether it's conducive working conditions for Malaysians or a safe recruitment process for migrant workers. So if after 2 years we are not able to resolve this problem, since the start of the pandemic, then I think it's a national crisis. If I was the Prime Minister, I would sound the alarm.
You mentioned some specific industries being severely affected by this national crisis. What exactly are the industries most affected, and how does this in turn affect the recovery of Malaysia's economy that we know is still not at the pace that we expect it to be post-pandemic, even though we're not out of the woods yet with the pandemic, but, taking into account the MCOs being placed, we expect economic recovery to be at a certain pace, but it's not here yet. So what are the industries most affected, and how does this play out in our economic recovery?
Yeah, we've already seen reports that the palm oil sector, the construction sector, even rubber, particularly manufacturing, and even electronics have voiced out that they are facing difficulties. So instead of coming up with a comprehensive policy that solves our labor issues, we are still struggling with very fundamental issues. And and this diplomatic problem with Indonesia has exposed it, which is good in a way. We now know that there are so many loopholes. But to say that Malaysia is trying, it is. Whether it's sincere, we are yet to see, because we haven't fully tested, you know, the National Action Plan on forced labor, which was done over the last few years. But we are yet to see the fruits. So there's also the big question of why are Malaysians not taking up these jobs? If you talk to different employers, you know, they have their side of the story. If you talk to Malaysians, they will also have their side of the story. And, you know, it's very wrong to say that Malaysians are lazy and not willing to do work, because they are Malaysians also working as domestic workers. It's just that we don't have comprehensive laws to ensure social protection, decent work, unionism. In fact, the domestic workers sector here is yet to have a national union. So there's so many factors that need to be considered. If Malaysia truly wants to pick up the economic pace, we have to be honest. We have to you know, develop a recruitment process that that gives priority to Malaysians. And only when there's vacancies or unfilled positions, to then bring in migrant workers. So that is yet to be seen, despite these topics coming up again and again in the Rancangan Malaysia ke 11, Rancangan Malaysia ke 12. We are yet to answer these questions.
If there are no changes being made to tackle this national crisis as you've described it, how do you see this crisis playing out in the next 1 or 2 years to come?
Yeah, so investors are already asking questions, whether not just about the Malaysian political stability, but also whether we are able to manage labour in an efficient manner. So if we are not able to demonstrate that we can, investors are going to pull out, supply chain, brands, buyers are going to shift operations to places which are more competitive, more stable, have better labor rights. Because if you look at the different countries in Europe, US, Canada, Australia, countries where buyers and brands are located, even financiers or investors, more and more laws that are governing due diligence in the supply chain is getting more serious. So sooner or later, Malaysia will have to answer very difficult questions, and they should start thinking of this now, from now.
Now, we've discussed at length about the legal aspects of this crisis, but it's, I think, also worth discussing and noting the cultural aspect of this sort of dependence on domestic workers, on migrant domestic workers among Malaysian society. What do you think this says about modern-day society in Malaysia still having to depend on domestic migrant female workers to take up the roles of housewives and mothers at home, or even husbands and fathers at homes?
Yeah, thanks for the very difficult question. So as we as society, you know, want to progress, you know, our families, we want to progress, things get a bit more challenging, because you have both parents working, having to work. And while we are working, you know, we expect a domestic worker to take care of the house. So over the last 20 years, not much progress has happened in terms of the nature of the work and protection for domestic workers happening. So this will then prevent Malaysians from taking up this job. Personally, I growing up, we had Malaysian domestic workers at home, and I saw my parents taking care of them very well, ensuring they had their day offs. So we could see that both my family and the family of the domestic worker both progressing together. But in this case, as we progress, we fail to provide protection for the domestic worker at home, despite domestic work actually being having evolved into home managers. Basically, what they're doing, they're managing your home, but the rights and protections haven't caught up with the nature and status of the job. So, so that is highly problematic. So if we can raise not just the rights and protection, but the status of such a work, then I think more people would definitely be willing to do the job. And I have seen Malaysians also doing this work, cleaning homes. There's nothing undignified about the work. But the question is, what are the social protections given for domestic workers? And I think we need to give some credit to the Malaysian government for including SOCSO as one of the many types of protections for domestic workers.
Right. Thanks so much, Adrian, for entertaining all of my questions, including the rather difficult ones. Thank you so much for joining me today. Plenty more to discuss, but that's all the time that we have. Terima kasih kepada Adrian Pereira, Pengarah North-South Initiative, sudi bersama saya untuk Awani Global pada minggu ini. Itu sahaja masa yang kita ada untuk jam ini. Bersama saya, Nala Huda. Kita jumpa lagi. Salam hormat.